We continue with the epistle reading in the New Testament, and it's found in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through chapter 4, verse 1. Hear these words from Paul. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live to what we have already obtained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have told you before, and now tell you again with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Christ Jesus, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, sisters and brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in his way, dear friends. May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds today. Well, this morning we continue our series in Philippians entitled A Work in Progress. And this morning we're looking on pressing on through challenges and adversity. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard a story about a police officer who was running radar on California Route 22, and all of a sudden he saw a car that was going so slow that all these other cars were veering around it to the point where it was a danger. And so he used his radar and found out the car was going 22 miles an hour. So he turned on his lights and pulled the car over and walked up to this car. And in there was a little old lady behind the wheel. And she said, "Officer, is there a problem?" He said, well, yes, ma'am. He said, "You're going terribly slow." And she said, "Well, I'm going the speed limit. I'm going exactly 22 miles an hour." Well, he laughed and explained. He said, "Listen, that's the route sign, not the speed limit." And so he looked in the back seat, and there were three older ladies back there, and they all looked terribly frightened and afraid. And he said, "Is everything okay, little ladies?" And one of them spoke up and said, "Well, yes, we'll be okay. We just got off Route 119. Well, you know, we like racing, don't we? I mean, we like the NASCAR races, and we like the Indy 500. We like the Boston Marathon, the New York Marathon, and some of us like the Kentucky Derby as well. We like to see people and things press their limits. And I think the reason for that is it teaches us some lessons about life, about overcoming adversity and difficulty and having perseverance. And so Paul calls on that imagery this morning in our faith life, how to overcome adversity and difficulty and challenges that beset us. And the first thing he says, as he sort of lays this out, he said, not that I have been already made perfect, he says, but in other words, and that perfect is faultless, it's whole. And he says, but I take hold of that which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. And then he goes on to give us some keys, and he says, the first thing is to forget what is behind. To forget what is behind. You know, some of us get weighed down by some of the obstacles in life. I don't know if you're like me, but maybe there's someone out there, you've got some chapters in your life, or at least pages, that you'd like to forget. Maybe sins or shortcomings or just failures, and they just sometimes weigh us down. And Paul is encouraging us to really give that to Christ. Lay that aside. You know, God offers us forgiveness and new life through Christ, and sometimes we're the ones who bring that up. And sometimes when we think about Paul, we think, well, you know, here's this individual who lived such an incredible, perfect life, and he went and spread the gospel through most of the known world that day, and he wrote half the New Testament. But there's also a part of Paul's life that had to be a difficult and painful experience for him to remember. Remember that there was a chapter in his life where he persecuted Christians to the point where he was a person who held the coats of those who stoned Stephen to death. So maybe Paul never really forgot that. Now, maybe we haven't done something like that, but there's probably some sins and shortcomings in our life that we just as soon forget. And sometimes they can weigh us down. We need to give those to Christ. Robert Fulghum is an author that I like, and he sort of takes some simple truths and puts them into understandable form. And in one of his books he talks about, he walked into this small grocery store in a real small rural town in Idaho, and he was standing in the checkout line, and he saw two signs that really were sort of aha moments for him. And the first one was, as he was standing in the line waiting for his change, there was a little sign next to the cash register that said, "Please accept your change and take it with you." Of course, he meant the change from his grocery purchase. But the truth is, he thought for a moment, that there's a sense in our lives where we need to accept our change. When we give our life to Christ and ask for forgiveness, we need to accept that, God has forgiven us. Let go of the past and the shortcomings and the brokenness of our life and to accept that. And then the second part of that, he says, we need to take it with us. And the truth is that if we're to make an impact in our world, we need to take that forgiveness and light in our heart and life, not just here in this church, but to take it with us throughout the world, wherever we go, whether it's work or college or in our neighborhood, wherever we are, we need to accept that change and take it with us. And the second sign he saw was this. And he looked at on the way out, and there was a revolving door, and it said this next to it. It said, "The only way out is in." He thought to himself about that. You know, that's really true. The only way we can really make an impact on the world is on the outside, is to allow Christ to make a change on the inside. And we allow Christ into our hearts and lives, then all of a sudden our inside is changed, and then our outward actions begin to change too. We become salt and life in our world, and we can make a difference in people's lives. So those two lessons, I think, are lessons that Paul would celebrate. That sometimes we need to forget about the failures of life and the brokenness of life, to give it to Christ and to trust in God's forgiving power. There's a sense, too, in which we probably, some of us, need to forget about some of our successes. Now, that may sound peculiar at first, but there's a sense sometimes in which some people's lives, their successes, their victories, can become things that weigh them down. And by that, I suppose I mean that sometimes we glory too much in the past, and as if we're sort of walking backwards or racing backwards. And Paul, too, had some chapters in life that he could be really thankful for. He impacted much of the world, and here he is in this moment, and he's in prison. And he could look back and say, "I'm just going to rest into the victories of the day and the past." But Paul realized there was also a future, and he had need to let go of those. And so Paul set about the business, which may not have been that herald of the day, of writing letters to churches, some of them in remote places. And those letters that he wrote from prisons are letters that have touched our lives and lives of people for thousands of years. The one that we read this morning was written from prison, maybe near his death, as a matter of fact. And so Paul wasn't a person that just got weighed down either by the failures or by the successes. And you and I, sort of like a runner, you can think of a runner and they could be weighed down by training weights they might put on their backs as they run, or think of a runner training and just putting their victory trophies on their back. Well, they probably wouldn't do very well. And the fact of the matter is, as a runner, we need to pursue and look into the future. And Paul's probably saying, we have our brokenness and our failures and shortcomings, give those to God. We also have our successes in Christ, and even those we need to put in their place and focus on the present and future as we go forward. And one of the things about running is that we have to strain for what is ahead. And so that's Paul's next thing. He says, forgetting what is behind and strain towards what is ahead. And that word literally means to lean forward. You think of runners sometimes as they're running down the stretch, and maybe there's another runner right next to them, and they stretch as far and fast as they can to cross that finish line and break the ribbon. And Paul's using that same imagery this morning. And sometimes we get tired and we get discouraged and we sort of get deflated and disheartened in life by the challenges and difficulties. And Paul's saying, listen, you not only need to forget what's behind, but you need to strain forward to what is ahead. We need to strain forward for the goal that God has given us in life. And whatever we're facing, we know that God has given us gifts and talents in life, and we can use that in the present moment. And if we give that all we got, we can make a difference in our world. Paul uses that imagery some more in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 and following. And he says this, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it for a crown that will last forevermore. Therefore, I do not run like a person running aimlessly. I do not run like a person beating the air. No, I beat my body into submission so that I might not be disqualified for the prize." Paul is saying, listen, strain forward with everything that you've got. And if Paul the apostle has to do that, then surely we have to do that as well. So sometimes we have to dig down and to see what's really there. This is baseball season. It's a little bit of football season, but it's baseball World Series season coming up. Back in 2011, there was a great series. You may have remembered the Cardinals and the Texas Rangers. And in the Game 6, The Cardinals were down and really looked in the late innings as they would be defeated, and they could have just given up, but they didn't. In fact, it came down to really the last strike in the game, and they persevered, and they came back in innings 9 and 10. Twice during that time, it looked like one more strike and it would have been over. They came back to win in the 11th inning and then went on to win the 7th game. Well, we see that in sports a lot, but it's also true in our faith life. There's times when we need to stretch forward and lean into life and into God's grace as hard as we can. And in fact, the root of discipleship is discipline, that kind of element of perseverance in life. This is what Helen Keller says about perseverance. She said, difficulties meet us at every turn. They are the accompaniment of life. Out of pain grows the violets of patience and sweetness. The richness of human experience would lose something of rewarding joy if there were no limitations to overcome. I've never believed that my limitations were punishments or accidents. If I had held such a view, I never could have exerted the strength to overcome them. We are chastened by God as God's children. We are trained by discipline and refined. We are not punished or chastised. She has that kind of view that despite the obstacles presented in her life, that those were adversity and challenges that would help her to shine and accomplish great things. And in fact, she accomplished many of the great things in the 20th century. In those words that Matt read earlier about Joshua, and Joshua's toward the end of his life, and he had taken the mantle of leadership from Moses, sort of passed it on to him, and it was up to Joshua to lead the people into the promised land, and he did, and there were victories from Jericho clear to the end, and as he was in his final days of life, he called all the Israelites together, and that was his closing words. And listen again to what he said. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates and in the Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself whom you will serve. And he goes on to say, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. He had that kind of perseverance, knowing that faith and family were two of the most important things in life. And despite the challenges and adversity of life, he's saying, listen, we need to strive for great things, and you need to pass this mantle of faith onto each other. The final thing that Paul says is that we are to press on despite everything. And he says this again, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now that's the second time that Paul has used that term to press on in life. And it really is great imagery because it just means about that sort of that runner sort of finishing the line and crossing the finish line and pressing on. And he has this goal in mind when he says this. The word goal is actually the Greek word for, it's called skopos, and it's the word that we get scope for. Now, I don't know if there's hunters or archers out there, and I'm not much of a marksman or anything like that, but I had an opportunity a couple years ago. My nephew's in the SEALs, and they had a family day. He was in this sniper school, and families were allowed to go and sort of shoot these guns. And it was amazing to see these young men and the focus they had and what they were trained to do by looking through that scope. And they had to shut everything else out and focus on targets that were as much as a mile away. And it's really amazing. And I got a chance to shoot some of those and shoot at a target a mile away. And they really told you how to do it and how to focus. And think for a moment, if we had that same kind of focus and commitment and we looked in life, and I don't know what's in the crosshairs of your life, but Paul's saying, listen, you need to have that kind of focus that you're looking at Christ Jesus and what Christ Jesus has for you. And there's so many distractions in life, and some of them are great things. But what's the number one priority in our hearts and lives? Paul says, listen, your priority needs to be that you're straining ahead towards what God has planned for you in your hearts and lives each and every day. Not just in church, but in our neighborhoods and our places of work and wherever we are, we can make a difference if we sort of lead into Christ. That same focus is found in runners as they run for a great race. In fact, they tell a runner to not look at their feet, but to look out into the distance at some point. Of course, it has to change as they're running the distance, but it really makes a difference. They say that if the difference between a runner looking at their feet and looking at a point in the distance is about 6 inches per stride. Now, that doesn't seem like much, but they say there's about 1,000 strides for the average runner in a mile. So if you take 1,000 times 6, that's 6,000 inches, which would work out to 165 to 175 yards. That's per mile. In the average marathon, then, that would mean there's a difference between 4,290 to 4,420 yards in a marathon. And that is a tremendous difference. So I think the lesson for us is if we're like a runner and we focus on that point in the distance, and that point is the goal that Christ has for us, we begin to shut out the distractions of the world, then we can accomplish great things. And sometimes it just seems like a little difference in our life. But over time, that little difference can make a tremendous difference in others' lives, in our lives as well. So Paul is saying, listen, you need to run with your eyes and your lives focused on Christ. In fact, in Hebrews, this is what it says. It echoes that same imagery. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and is using this imagery of this great amphitheater, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Again, that imagery of perseverance in faith and life. So this morning, if we're facing challenge and adversity, most of us do at some point in life, maybe it's a financial difficulty, or maybe it's an illness in our life or a loved one, or maybe some broken relationships, or even the loss of a loved one and the tragedy that can just weigh our heart. Paul's saying, listen, all those things can be difficult and all those things have their place, but try to put some of the successes and failures aside, give them to Christ, the forgiver of all things, and to strive towards what is ahead and to really press on with everything that you have. Here again his words. He said, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Listen to these words from Theodore Roosevelt, the great president, on perseverance. He said this, it is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbled or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the person, to the man or woman who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred with dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, who knows great enthusiasms, great devotions, who spends himself or herself on a worthy cause, and who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who in the worst fails, at least fails, while daring greatly. So that is his place that shall never be with those of timid souls who neither knew victory or defeat. If a president could say that about everyday life in some sense, our life of faith means even more. And our life of faith can inspire others. I want to close with this true story that I think is incredible. And it's how runners can inspire each other. There's a man by the name of Charlie Paddock in the early 1900s who won 2 gold medals. And he wanted to sort of pass on his legacy. And so he traveled the United States when he got back to the States. And he spoke at many high schools about what he had accomplished and how God can touch other people's lives if we use our gifts and talents and give it all that we have. And so he went to East Technical High School in Cleveland, Ohio. He said those same words. He said, listen, there's nothing that can stop you if you will dedicate your time and talent to God and give it all you have. And at the end of his speech, a young man came up, and he was a young African-American, a little boy. And he said, do you really think that I could be an Olympic champion? And he looked down at him and said, well, I really believe that if you give it everything you got and you believe in God and use all your gifts and talents, there's no limit to what you can do. And so that young man went home that day and told his grandma that he was going to be an Olympic champion. And he trained as hard as he could and gave it everything he had. And then in 1936, that same young man by the name of Jesse Owens lined up in front of a German stadium with Hitler in it, a deeply racist person, wanted to persecute him and didn't want him to accomplish anything. And he won not only that race and that gold medal, but 3 others for a total of 4 gold medals. It was a tremendous accomplishment. Well, Jesse Owens remembered sort of the legacy that was given to him. And so he was traveling Europe and the United States talking about the accomplishments and what God could do if others, if you dedicate our time and talents to them. He was in England and a young man came up to him while he's walking down this sort of parade and said, do you think that I could be an Olympic champion? And Jesse Owens remembered the words that were spoken to him. And so he looked down at this young man and he said, I believe that if you dedicate all your life with God's blessing, there's nothing that you can't do. And so that young man went home and said he was going to be Olympic champion. And in 1948, that same young man by the name of Harrison Bone Gilliard went on a 100-yard dash to win the gold medal and to tie Jesse Owens' record. And he went on to win another gold medal as well. You know, our lives, we dedicate our gifts and talents to others, and we sort of pass that torch and encourage others, can inspire others to do great things. And I think really the key to all of it is the key that Paul begins with when he says, I press forward to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And I think that's really the key. We don't do it in our own strength, but we have the strength of Christ, who has a plan and purpose for our life. And when we feel weak in the race, know that Christ's strength is there for us because he holds on to us. I encourage all of us to listen to the words of Paul and to forget what's behind us and to strive for what is ahead and then to press on even the challenge of adversity. And with God's strength, there's nothing that we can't do. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, this morning we come humbly before you. We realize your mercy and your grace. Sometimes we are weighed down by so many things, and as we battle the challenges and adversity of life, it just seems too much. Help us, Lord, to let go of that which would weigh us down. Help us to accept your forgiving grace and mercy. And help us to lean forward into all that you have planned for us, to use our gifts and talents and your blessing, and to press on. And as we press on with your strength, we know through you we can not only get through the day, but we can accomplish great things through your strength and to your glory. Amen.